February 27, 2003, House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. Great to have you all here. Welcome, committee members. And before we get started, we are actually today going to hear all the bills on the agenda, just to let you know. And first off, before we go any further, I would like to call your attention to the sign-up sheet to testify on various pieces of legislation we have before us. The shaded box there talks about if you are a government official and a lobbyist, we expect you to comply with the current Oregon law in regards to truthful and accurate testimony. Now, that if you're here from the public, this doesn't apply to you. However, we of course want you to still give us truthful and accurate testimony. So, having said that, we are going to move into a public hearing on House Bill 2521. We're going to open that, and we're going to welcome Representative Tom Butler to come and testify as a courtesy to allow Representative Butler to testify first on this piece of legislation. And Ray, while he's coming, why don't you give us a quick heads up as to what this piece of legislation is all about.
Yes, Mr. Chair, if you indulge me for one moment.
I will indulge you. Representative, come forward, please. Okay. Let's make a correction here. We're going to close a public hearing on House Bill 2521 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2574.
Yes.
Not 2521. My mistake.
Mr. Chair, it was staff's mistake, and I apologize. Grabbed the wrong bill. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2574 allows a county governing body to establish a county wildlife board to advise the body on the number of predatory animals that may be taken in the county. It allows the county governing board to adopt the recommendations of the county wildlife board to allow taking of predatory animals at a time and place and in a manner and amount not allowed, by the State Fish and Wildlife Commission. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Oregon Revised Statutes 496-124 establish and provide authority for a wildlife division within the State Department of Fish and Wildlife. And under this statute, the wildlife division is responsible for management of all wildlife except fish and other marine life over which the State Fish and Wildlife Commission has regulatory jurisdiction. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Welcome, Representative Butler, for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Tom Butler from House District 60. I continue to wear a beef hat. I continue to have a beef as to how Eastern Oregonians are being treated in the current budget reductions of some of the facilities and institutions in Eastern Oregon. And we're very concerned about the budget. We want to be part of the process as opposed to part of the resolution of the current budget crisis. With that, Mr. Chair, I appreciate the correct bill upon which I'm to testify today. I'm reminded of the comic strip I saw one time as a youngster many years ago when the lawyer was sitting down with his client at the witness table and looking up at the judge, who had a stark look on his face, and the attorney was saying to his client, "I may have done your case irreparable damage when I got it mixed up with another case." So I didn't want to testify on another bill and do irreparable damage to someone else today. I would say that the few thousands of wolves, which are not indigenous wolves to the West, incidentally, the few thousand wolves which have been planted in Idaho and Montana couldn't all be wrong. Most of them are eating beef today. So I would encourage you to continue to eat beef as well. Colleagues, you just never know what's going to come out of the works, woodworks, when you present some sort of a bill that talks about the warm, fuzzy, cuddly kitty and Winnie the Pooh and the wolf. I've had just quite a number of pieces of communication, including folks that have told me that Goldilocks was nothing but a hooker and that she was profiling wolves and set up the nice wolf in a sting operation. So I want you to know, and I don't know whether...
Representative, are you actually reading from correspondence you've received?
There's a lot of things that have come out of the woodwork, Mr. Chair. I do want you to, and there's another one here that says there haven't been any wolves in the state of Oregon for the past 50 years. And that was news to my constituents over in Grant County, where we've actually had some predation loss. So there's a lot of things that have come out of the woodworks, and I apologize for digressing of that. I don't know whether or not the committee staff will show the items discussed and include Goldilocks on it or not. However, that having been said, I would just say this. There are other bills dealing with cougars, bears, and wolves that you will yet see as you go through this process. I'm concerned that I did not receive information regarding the testimony which would be offered today by the Department of Fish and Wildlife, ODF&W, until just about 10 minutes before this meeting was scheduled to be presented today. With that, I would like to just review some of their testimony. Your committee staff has already told you what this bill does. I'd like to have an opportunity to go ahead and tell you some of the misconceptions that the ODF&W, who evidently feel some warm fuzzies related to this, that they would like to go ahead and embrace. They're concerned that what we have here is that we are going to establish something to reclassify bear, cougar, and wolves as game animals other than wildlife classification into predatory animals. That's exactly what this does. This first time identifies some predatory animals. I'm not identifying rodents, mice, squirrels, or gophers, or moles as predatory animals. However, I recognize that rabbits and squirrels are also on that list. I'm not very concerned about them as they're at our back door in many parts of the state. And I'm not just talking about eastern Oregon now. I'm talking also about western Oregon. We've had here on the west side of the state some rather substantial damage and some encroachment by black bear, and they're becoming a serious problem in many parts of the western part of the state. The state Fish and Wildlife expresses their concern that implementation of House Bill 2574 would drastically change the current state management policy and allow counties, county governments, the opportunity to go ahead and take a primary role with regard to these predators in their counties. And colleagues, I would tell you straight out, that's exactly what this bill does. It brings back from Salem to my local county seats an opportunity for the sheriff, who meets on a regular and continual basis with my county commissioners. It allows those 36 highest elected law enforcement officers of the state to say, folks, we've got a problem. And any one of those three members of the local county governing board that county committee on which is established to examine and control these predatory animals could call a meeting and indicate that we have an out-of-control situation in our local counties. The Department of Fish and Wildlife says this creates 36 separate wildlife management bodies, doesn't afford them any opportunity to communicate or coordinate their efforts to ensure that these indigenous species will be maintained to prevent the serious depletion of the gene pool of these wildlife species. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you today that these species are not as concerned about their own gene pool as they are about nibbling on some of the human gene pool, and I am very anxious about some of these animals that are out of control. You'll hear yet in this committee, not necessarily today, but with regard to other bills that will come before you, about what happens when the 92 hunting permits were all used up, and the day after they're all used up, I have a cougar in my district hit the back door of a small child as he is entering in the back door, a hungry cougar that's ready to take on a human being, and the ODF&W in Salem says, folks, you've already harvested enough of these animals, you leave them alone. And of course, the state law says that if, in fact, I've got them on my back porch and they're nibbling on little Johnny's toes, that I can go ahead and control them. But we shouldn't have to do that. We should be able to look to our county local body, including our county sheriff and the county commissioners, and have those folks get together with the game biologist and say, 92 is not enough when I still have hungry cougars hanging around the homes and the cow herds of, or the other animals, whether they're llama or sheep or whatever. We've got too many of them. They need to be controlled locally. And I'm not as concerned about the gene pool as evidently these other folks from ODF and W are. The next thing that you'll hear them say is that it will create challenges for their law enforcement to know what to do, and it'll offer an opportunity for these local governments to enter into any kinds of arrangements that they need to in order to control these dangerous predators. And I submit to you that already it exists from the 2001 session, that we do have the opportunity to maintain treeing dogs for bear and cougar already. It's an opportunity for us to go ahead and have the local control of those treeing dogs within this local predator control committee of each county that wants to set one up. There's no mandatory obligation that any county set this up. As a matter of fact, I would guess that probably Washington County, Multnomah County, other large counties in the metropolitan area that do not have the encroachment of cougars, bears, or wolves on a daily basis would likely never set one up until such time as those cougars, bears, or wolves create a very difficult and dangerous situation within their counties. The ODF&W provides me information that says under this law, under this scenario, law enforcement officers would have to differentiate between those participating in state-sanctioned hunts and those prohibited from using dogs and bait. And I, you know, folks, I just have to tell you that in all 36 counties, including some of my most rural counties, they have faxes and telephones and email where they can communicate one with another. And if the ODF&W folks feel like they want to exclude themselves from communicating with their own wildlife and game biologists, as well as my sheriffs, they're welcome to do that. But when emergencies exist, these folks need to be able to act locally and act decisively and act quickly. And finally, the ODF&W says that this will be a significant fiscal impact on their own programs, because they're selling tags to go ahead and harvest bear and cougar, and that they feel like that this is going to be a terrible impact on them financially, and that also that they would have to respond within 72 hours to examine any of the animals taking under this arrangement. Well, I submit to you that one of the people that's involved in declaring this emergency is in fact their local game biologist. And I met with Director Lindsey Ball this morning to express my great appreciation and admiration and thanks for the great game biologists we enjoy throughout the state. And he assured me that one of the four items that he hears as he goes throughout the state is to please leave our good game biologists in the local places within our local counties. Finally, I want to say that those folks who would come forward and say that the sweet little putty cat and the cute little cuddly bears need to just go ahead and continue to have their existence, I'd like to have those folks, I'd like to have their picture, I'd like to have their statements attached to their picture, and then I want to send that to the families who have been molested and who have been threatened, and I'm sorry to say that eventually we'll have those pictures and those statements available for those families who will yet lose family members to one of these wild and ferocious beasts, and I would encourage you to proceed forward and take positive action with regard to House Bill 2574. With that, I'd be happy to try and answer any questions that I possibly could.
Thank you, Representative. Members, we have questions. We'll start with Vice Chair Wirth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Butler, does this in fact repeal Measure 18, in your opinion?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wirth, what this does is it provides us another tool. It's my understanding that the Measure 18, which said that you could not use dogs to tree cats or bait to take bear, was substantially changed in the 2001 session, that the state could empower, the state ODF&W could empower that. With that authority, I'm asking that, part of the community solutions teams that we have continued to fund on behalf of the last and the current governor, allow us some opportunity to come and solve these problems locally. What this does is it says, use that authority which we gave you in 2001 to go ahead and bait or tree animals. Yes, in that respect, it would follow what we did in 2001, and it would allow that to occur locally, that bait and treeing dogs could be utilized to manage cougar and bear.
I'll let Mr. Chair.
Sure.
So if we did empower these local authorities to do so, would you say then that was a violation of Ballot Measure 18?
Mr. Chair, Representative Worth, I wouldn't say it's a violation of Measure 18 as much as it is complying with the modifications to Measure 18 that we'd already passed in the previous session.
Okay, thank you.
Additional questions? Tom, we have passed out an ODF&W fee bill, which creates about $10 million in additional revenue to the agency. This would pull away about $840,000 is what they're, the department's asserting, and they'll be up here to chat about this momentarily. How would we replace that money?
Mr. Chair, any attempt to try and dissuade you or persuade you into believing that this costs $840,000, I believe is bogus. And the reason I say that is, and I want you to take the bill and I want you to modify it in whatever fashion you feel is necessary and amend it. And as I look over this particular group of legislators, I have confidence in each and every one of you that there's nothing that you can do to severely damage this bill from a fiscal impact by allowing the ODF&W not to have to examine any of the game that's any of these predators that are taken in 72 hours. I mean, if the local game biologist who is already on the spot is going to charge you an extra $840,000 for doing his job for which he is already paid, then folks were not working their budget close enough.
Well, Tom, wouldn't the actual revenue loss to them, though, be in relation to the tags?
Mr. Chair, I want to make it absolutely certain, and with no uncertain circumstances, that these folks are not gathering together on whatever basis that the local safety committee is called together on to go out and hunt animals that would otherwise have been tagged. These folks are taking those animals which are a danger and considered a clear and present current danger to society. Now we have a regular policy of being able to take those animals, and the ODF&W takes them fairly regularly without tags when they're in my towns and your towns. And so if they feel like that they're going to lose some revenue, this is not sport taking. This is life saving taking.
Yeah. Okay. That's a very good point, Tom. And I'll ask additional questions of the department when they get up here. Additional questions of Tom? Representative Worth?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, I see in here that you have a prohibition that an animal couldn't be taken if it's on the Federal Endangered Species Act. And so I'm assuming that means if it's on the State Endangered Species Act, such as wolves, that this bill then would allow the animal to be taken. And as far as I understand, the State Endangered Species Act only pertains to public lands. So if you're worried about the private property owners and the private, you know, safety in terms of their back door, that's certainly not public lands and therefore not the State Endangered Species Act. So I'm wondering.
Mr. Chair, Representative Worth, that's an excellent question, and let me respond to it in this fashion. Right now, the wolf is on the Federal Endangered Species Act, and what the bill provides is that the local public safety, the committee that would call themselves together in these kinds of emergencies are not empowered to violate any federal law. And so what that does is if you've got a situation on on where private property or private lives individuals are being threatened, this bill does not allow anything to be done from an illegal fashion on from any federal laws, any violations of federal laws. And in the same fashion, recognize, please, that the people whom we have, with the exception, and it may or may not include the exception of the state game biologist in that particular area that's assigned to that area, those folks are already sworn to uphold the law. The sheriff, the county commissioners that are involved, to have a vote to say, yes, we believe that those wolves or that wolf or that particular animal that is killing the calves out on this particular place, this particular farm, create a clear and present danger to the folks present. That does not give them the authority to go out and violate any federal law, and the bill is explicit in that regard.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Byer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Butler, it's good to see you here.
Thanks.
I have a question because I'm trying to decide if I see any county people in here. Have you run this by them and gotten any feel from them as to how, whether they would want this authority?
Mr. Chair, Representative Byer, that's an excellent question, and I have met with Mr. Cantine regarding many of the issues. They believe that these are the kinds of issues that are best handled locally, and certainly the counties and the sheriff's associations would like to have the authority to be able to call themselves together to administer these kinds of issues as they become local public threats. But in answer to your question, are they going to be here to testify on behalf of the bill that should give them the authority which they thought they would have anyway? Probably not. They've expressed in my meetings with the folks from the Association of Oregon Counties and with my sheriffs, they've certainly expressed no displeasure with the opportunity to control locally. That's which they thought they had the control of anyway.
Thank you.
So, Tom, just for the chair's edification here, to understand that your direction with this bill, as I'm hearing it, is that you intend for this not to repeal Measure 18, but rather to allow county governing bodies under this concept to set their own limits and methodologies about how to control these animals.
Mr. Chair, I envision that what happens with regard to one of these governing bodies meeting, calling themselves together, I envision that what you've got is that it's not calling itself together just because it has nothing to do on a Wednesday afternoon. Basically, the governing body calls itself together and brings in the game biologist under this particular act because there is a danger present in the community. And not until that danger has exhibited itself and presented itself, do they go out and seek out the local game biologist, bring that game biologist to the table with the county commission and the sheriff before they act on a specific case or specific cases where people and property are in danger. It's not a free-for-all, and nowhere in the bill does it provide for any kind of a free-for-all. It merely provides that if there, and I have confidence in my elected sheriffs, the 36 elected sheriffs throughout the state of Oregon. I have confidence that they will abide by the Constitution and the laws of the state of Oregon, as I do my county commissioners in all circumstances. I have to rely upon them to know when there is a clear and present danger. And what this bill does is it gives them the authority to act when they have been called together as a result of a dangerous situation within their own county, as opposed to bringing their game biologist in under the same kinds of circumstances, finding out whether or not there is a concern, and then contacting the folks in Salem to be told, no, we've sold all of the 92 permits, and they've all been filled for the cats in that area. We're sorry, you've got one at the back door. If he's going to attack a child, you probably ought to shoot it.
Okay, so, Tom, it would be fair, then, to characterize your intent of this legislation is not to allow or subvert the intent of Measure 18 and to allow the sport hunting of bears and cougars, but it sounds like it is to allow local response for problematic animals more quickly than what the state can do.
Absolutely
correct.
Absolutely correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Worth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative Butler, tell me the laws in relation to predatory animals. What are people allowed to do to predatory animals in the state of Oregon?
I think, Mr. Chair, Representative Worth, I think that currently predatory animals, there's a very narrow definition, and I believe that right now predatory animals are controlled under a program separately from what this bill does. This merely identifies and throws the wolf into the identification of a predatory animal together with black bear and cougar, and then identifies them that when they need to be controlled, they could be controlled by whatever means the local control board would determine necessary and prudent under the circumstances. Obviously, we're not going to be using a lot of heavy arms in the cities, but we do have on a regular basis in some of the smaller towns in rural Oregon, we do have these animals prowling around town eating our domestic animals, and occasionally they'll actually get treed in town. But unfortunately, in town, unfortunately or unfortunately, as the case may be, as long as you can keep a crowd from gathering, as long as you can keep folks away, usually the game biologist can come out and go ahead and take the animal out. The problem that we've got is that it almost has come to a point where you're at a crisis level. But it only gives the game biologist the opportunity to go ahead and determine at that particular point, under his control, his or her control, what level of crisis is being raised. Unfortunately, much of rural Oregon doesn't have the game biologist present when you've got something like that going on, and usually the people that know will be a sheriff's deputy and or the county commission at some point in time, at which point they would have an opportunity to call themselves together and then control these animals using the legal means that were legal to us before Measure 18.
So, quick follow-up.
Yes.
So, as I understand it, and tell me if I'm wrong, as I understand it, predatory animal, it can, once it's defined as predatory, basically anyone can take whatever means they need to control or manage that animal. So I could see, worst-case scenario as it, could be a free-for-all, as you were describing, couldn't happen. So, I guess, is that a difference of opinion? Or
Mr. Chair, Representative Worth, I would certainly hope that that would not happen. If that were an unintended consequence, and I would leave that to your reading, if that were an unintended consequence of this, then that is not what the attempt of this legislation is to do. And by classifying three animals as predatory animals and giving the excess population of those animals into a, once they become truly excess and truly dangerous to our human and agricultural population, at that particular point, it gives that local governing body, which includes the state biologist, the resident state biologist, an opportunity to come in and address those issues that are of import and concern. But I certainly wouldn't say that this would, Representative Worth, if at any point this type of legislation, and I would want the record to be abundantly clear, that is not what the intent of this legislation is, to allow any degree of additional takings without the sheriff, the county governing board, and the game biologist, the duly authorized ODF&W game biologist, who's there anyway, on the ground normally at that point, and usually meets with our county commissions anyway, and in rural Oregon.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional questions? Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you coming today. All right, the chair would like to call next Roy Elliker and Ron Anglin from ODF&W, please. Welcome to you both, and since we've referenced your testimony in its written form, I thought that we would have you come forward and share your thoughts about this particular issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and why the staff is passing out our written testimony, which probably needs just a little bit of discussion before we get on to questions. For the record, Roy Elliker, Deputy Director of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. On my left, Mr. Ron Anglin. He is the administrator of the Wildlife Division. And Also in the audience, Mr. Chair, should questions arise on law enforcement issues, Captain Cindy Koch here prepared to come up and testify as to law enforcement issues as Captain of the Fish and Wildlife Division, Oregon State Police. And I'll turn over to Mr. Anglin our comments, our written comments, Mr. Chair, and then we'll go through those briefly, and then I imagine there'll be lots of questions from the committee, and we're here to help you with those.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Ron Anglin, Wildlife Division Administrator, ODFW. The testimony that's just been handed out to you has four main points that I think had already been discussed by Representative Butler, and I think that they are important to point out to the committee. One, that this bill does, in fact, appear to transfer authority for wildlife management in a broad sense to a local county governing body, which is something that is a pretty far change from what we currently employ here within the state. As mentioned by the representative, we are concerned from an enforcement standpoint, not at the administrative level, but out on the ground itself. Law enforcement would be faced in making hunter checks in the field of trying to determine those that were actually operating under the guidelines of this bill versus those that were hunting under the seasons that would be authorized by the department. And the fiscal impact that is mentioned has, you know, we sell approximately a little over $1 million worth of bear and cougar tags a biennium. And what the potential impact to us on this is that as cougar populations are reduced in areas, and if we feel that we can no longer justify hunting seasons, then we would have to close areas to public hunting, which would reduce the tag sales and obviously would have a revenue impact to us as an agency. And then finally, the major point of, as I mentioned before, that this would set the counties up as a governing body for wildlife management in the appearance of how the bill is written at this point in time. There were a couple of different questions that were asked of the representative relative to statutes and dealing with damage. I'd like to touch on those very quickly for you. First off, the department is given broad authority under 498.012 to deal with damage situations in the state relative to game animals. And bear and cougar are currently classified as game animals. And we do have regulations in place that specifically after Measure 18 was passed in 1994, in January 1995, that triggered the statute 498.164 that specifically gives the department and its agents authority to use dogs and bait to deal with damage situations when those are occurring to land, livestock, agriculture, etc. And it was in the last legislative session that we worked with this legislative body to have legislation passed that would give us and give the public broad authority in 498.166 to take bear and cougar that were posing a threat to human safety and not need any permit from the department, so immediate action could be taken. We felt that that was important, and since that time, that statute has been employed a few times during this last biennium. Specifically, we had reported during the last 2 years, or actually during 2002, we had 22 cougars that were taken on human safety across the state, and we had 38 bears that were taken on human safety concerns. And those range from animals showing up in campgrounds, getting into garbage cans, and we felt there was no other way to deal with them than to take those out because they were, in fact, posing a human safety concern. The damage statute, as mentioned earlier, falls in 610.002, which defines predators and a whole series of statutes that defines exactly what it is you can do with those animals. Oregon Department of Agriculture actually administers that statute, and they would be the ones that would be more appropriate to provide you with more input on that. We do work in concert with them because they are referring to wildlife species here, and as we read and interpret the bill, it would reclassify bear and cougar and wolves as predators, and I assume that that would be as a statutory requirement, and there is broad latitude within the predator statute for the take of predatory animals, irrespective of anything that is found within the wildlife laws. The only thing that would put any kind of restrictions on that is if there were a listing by the state ESA, which would allow us to regulate take of a, even a predator under those kind of a situation or circumstances. So that's kind of a broad overview, and hopefully that answered a couple of the questions that were raised earlier, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have further.
Ron, I have a question for you first before we take questions from the members. If you look at the last line of the bill, please, on page 2. Sub 6 and sub 7 seem to imply to me and to staff that we would be prohibiting, bypassing this statute as it's written, prohibiting management activities on the part of the department to manage wolves. Is that what you would read into that?
Chair Krupp, that's correct.
Okay. You currently have authority to manage wolves that stray?
Chair Krupp, we have to operate under the federal guidelines that are in place at this point in time. We really don't have a whole awful lot of authority outside of what the federal government tells us we can or can't do. And at this point in time, they really haven't given us any specific authority to deal with the wolf as an endangered species. If they were to downlist the wolf to a threatened species, under that they have the ability to establish what they call the 4D rules, and at that point the state can become engaged, go through a planning process, and can take management responsibility and authority. However, if the wolf is classified as a predator, and once it is removed from the federal ESA, our management authority under the auspices of the predatory animal statute would be very limited unless it was listed in some way by us.
Okay. Members, questions? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Krupp. Mr. Anglin, could you define for me posing threat? Use that term, posing threat.
Chair Krupp, Representative Smith, that's found, as mentioned earlier, in 498-166, and the last legislative body specifically identified that as threats and damage, and part of this relates to black bears also, but to structures, the threat to human safety means the exhibition by a cougar or bear of one or more of the following behaviors: A, aggressive actions directed toward a person or persons, including but not limited to charging, false charging, growling, teeth popping, and snarling, breaking into or attempting to break into a residence, attacking a pet or domestic animal, and loss of wariness of humans displayed through repeated sightings of the animal in and around public structures or where people are visiting. That's very broad, and we support and endorse that, and we're pleased to have that passed last session.
Thank you. May I follow?
Yes, absolutely.
I'd like to make a comment. In 1998, I called the Department of Fish and Wildlife in Portland, and I talked to you, Mr. Anglin, and we had a cougar 22 miles from downtown Portland, and you told me at the time that you could not come out because you had to have, within 30 minutes, someone had to be there to be able to track it with dogs, and it was continually there, and it was a dry summer, and it was in the yards, and it was there, and there was lots of tracks, but no one would even come out, and you told me that you couldn't come out, you couldn't send anybody unless we called within 30 minutes, and you didn't have anybody available.
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson.
Smith.
Sorry. I apologize for that, Representative Smith.
Thank you. It is.
There's a common misperception that the use of dogs, that if you have a cougar show up and an hour later, 5 hours later, you go out with the dogs, that they can automatically get on the scent and the trail of that animal and be able to tree it. That is very dependent on weather conditions and it is very dependent on the time of the year. We're actively engaged in bear and cougar research, and we'll go days on end working dogs trying to capture bear and cougar and not strike any scent. And we know bear and cougar are in the area. And we have gone out on specific damage complaints and have worked it where we're confident there was a cougar in the area, and we get out there an hour to an hour and a half afterwards under conditions like you described, and dogs are absolutely have been unsuccessful in picking up the trail of that cat and being able to track it down and tree it so that it could be dispatched and disposed. If we've got and can respond in an extremely fast manner, and if it is in an area that we can turn dogs loose in, then certainly we'll do that and we'll respond. In a lot of areas where you have mixed private property ownerships, we cannot just go out and willy-nilly turn dogs loose because we have to obey private property laws and trespass just like anybody else. And unless we have permission to trespass, we can't do that. And the only way that would be waived is, in a worst-case scenario, somebody had been injured and then state police could come in and has some broad authority and powers to work with us at that point in time, and we could do things above and beyond the norm. So in a lot of cases, responding even several hours later will not solve the problem, depending on the weather conditions. If it's the winter time, it's wet, there's snow on the ground, you can get tracks, totally different. You know, it can be several hours later and you can be very successful. If it's in the middle of the summer, hot, dry conditions, it can be very impossible.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just make the comment that no one responded and that cougar was there for months, terrorizing the neighborhood and animals and killing. So there was no response. Thank you.
It seemed, Representative Smith, that that is the point of Representative Butler's bill. Representative Nelson, thank you.
Okay, your chance now. Mr. Chair and Mr. Ellicker?
Yes.
No, yes. Just getting even with the representative. Thank you for being here today. And you know, one issue I think that we're continuously facing, and certainly will be for the next 2, 4, 6, 8 years, hopefully things will be better by 8 years, but we really have a need for efficiency in you know, government activities right now, as well as economy. And certainly the safety of our citizens has to always be the top priority. So wouldn't you agree that this bill really does, you know, kind of take care of all three of those? Isn't it more efficient and effective for you all to have representatives in 36 counties ready to respond than y'all having to worry about getting somebody out to all those places when we don't know when these you know, animals are going to appear and dangerously impact the well-being of our citizens and livestock and other property. It seems like to me that would be more efficient that you would be in favor of this bill because of that. And it would certainly be more economical, seems like, than you're having the burden of additional travel. And today, the only thing that's gotten cheaper, as we talked earlier, I think one day, is communications in this decade. And so it seems like there's an easy way to communicate from this county unit to y'all and compare data. I was just curious because in hearing your numbers, I was just thinking, well, were all of these 60 cougars and bears in one place in 2002? It's hard for y'all to be everywhere all the time.
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, no, they were scattered across the state and taken virtually in every corner and every location of the state. And, you know, the reality is we receive a lot of calls on any given day, and we cannot respond to all of them. I can't give you the specifics, Representative Smith, on why we didn't have somebody come out to your particular area back in 1998. I do know that in a lot of cases, calls that we get, we are able to screen and sort out over the phone as to the validity of that call. my personal experience in Klamath Falls and also in Roseburg was when there was a legitimate problem in an adjacent area, specifically in Medford when I was in Klamath Falls, during the next week, I received scores of phone calls and complaints that I referred to as sympathy complaints and sympathy sightings. And when you sort through all of that, there really was not a cougar there in most of those cases, that they were seeing dogs, they were seeing tracks that when you go out and investigate, they were dog tracks, and we would work closely with Wildlife Services to investigate all of that. So it's not that we are not concerned about public safety. We are very concerned about public safety, and that's why we were very supportive of the bill last session that loosened and gave broad authority for taking animals in the public safety concern and public safety manner. This bill, as it's currently written, is broader than just the public safety, because it is our interpretation of it that it does allow that local governing body to decide that we want, as an example, and I'm not saying this is the case, we only want five cougars in the county, and anything above that poses a threat to the county, and we want those removed. That doesn't fit into a sound wildlife management scheme when you look at the big picture and how everything interrelates, and that's one of our concerns with the bill.
I'll just pass this.
Okay. Two quick questions for you. Can you provide us with the statistics regarding the numbers of human safety kills that your department has conducted since the inception of Measure 18 by year, both cats and bears? And secondly, I do find it difficult to accept your argument that a portion of this bill would allow the circumstance you just described, because your wildlife biologists will be part of this organization making these determinations about what levels of population should be there. And I would assume that your wildlife biologists would continue to exercise the good judgment that they exercise today. I do find it difficult to believe that you would be fearful of a loss in revenue, because what we're really talking about here is not sport hunting tags. We're talking about the take of problematic animals. You asserted earlier in your testimony, Ron, that you thought it potentially could lead to enough animals taken under this concept that you would have to, as a state, then close an area to all hunting, and that you would have the loss of revenues there. I think that's probably not very logical, given the circumstance I just described with you, is that your wildlife biologists will be part of this, and you will be helping to determine what are proper levels in each level of the state. You're going to have to come up with a better argument than that for me.
Chair Krupp, we do have the information you've requested right here. I'll make sure there's photocopies.
Would you have copies to us? Thank you very much.
In response to your second question or statement, the bill as written allows the take of bear and cougar across a broad area. It does not specifically state for human safety concerns and targeted towards a certain particular area. That might be what's implied within it, but it does not specifically state that. I'm also making the assumption that, as ODFW being one member of a three voting panel, that two members of that panel could decide that they wanted a broader number of cats or bears killed than what ODFW is recommending, and could override any recommendation of the biologist, which would allow that expansion. And that's the way the democratic process works. This bill does not prevent that type of thing from happening, so there could in fact be more harvest occurring than what our agency would recommend.
Okay. Thank you both very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative.
All right. Chair would like to call Linda Peterson and Cheryl Britton. Are you two of you together? Great. Come forward, please.
Well, we worked till we got here.
Well, okay. Well, welcome to you both. Thanks for making the journey here. And for the record, both of you need to state your names.
My name is Linda Peterson.
I'm sorry.
Linda Peterson is her name. Thank you. Please continue.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity to come and express my opinions on this subject. I'm opposed to this bill for the following reasons. First, county government does not have the expertise or know-how to manage wildlife. Two, the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission has the authority to make decisions for wildlife and should not be delegated. This should not be delegated piecemeal to the counties. Four, there is no need for this bill. There is no indication that bears and cougars are causing widespread problems, or that the counties are better suited to deal with the wildlife than the existing authorities vested in this state. Five, House Bill 2574 violates federal and state endangered species acts by allowing the killing of wolves, which are a protected endangered species on both levels. House Bill 2574 is a backdoor attempt to repeal Measure 18, and I believe that it is. Ban on bait and hound hunting of bears and cougars. Seven, chasing bears and cougars up trees with dog packs so hunters can pick them off a limb at point-blank range is unsporting and cruel, as is luring bears in with human foods and then killing them while they eat. And lastly, and I think this is the most important reason that we should not pass this bill, the public has voted twice to protect bears and cougars from baiting and hounding. House Bill 2574 overturns that decision. I think to overturn the clear will of the people is wrong. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Do you have questions for Linda? Representative Smith.
Just a question, Linda. What city do you live in?
I live right here in Salem.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Thank you, Linda. Cheryl, for the record, state your name.
Yes. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Cheryl Britton. I'm a resident of Salem and an Oregon voter, and I'm taking vacation time from my job today to be here because this issue is important to me, and I strongly oppose House Bill 2574. I was a volunteer signature gatherer for the Oregon Bear and Cougar Coalition for Measure 18 to ban bear baiting and hound hunting of bears and cougars. I gathered signatures in Salem and had no problem obtaining those signatures for this issue because the public was and continues to be in support of outlawing these unfair, cruel hunting practices. Section 2E of House Bill 2574 is a blatant attempt to overturn ORS 498-164, the law banning the use of dogs or bait in the hunting of black bears or cougars. By putting hunting decisions in the hands of individual county wildlife boards, bears and cougars in Oregon won't have a chance in eastern Oregon where they are hunted for fun. House Bill 2574 does not protect property or safe public safety, as these are already covered under existing law in ORS 498.166. House Bill 2574 is just another attempt to overturn the wishes of voters who have now voted twice to ban bear baiting and hound hunting of Oregons. Of cougars. House Bill 2574 is another attempt to decimate Oregon's bear and cougar populations, and it now includes wolves in hunters' insatiable appetite to kill Oregon's wildlife. And I would just like to state that I'm very well aware that cougars are not fluffy cats and bears are not cuddly. They are predators. I'm very well aware of that, as I think most everyone is. Thank you.
Cheryl. Members, do we have questions for Cheryl?
Yes, Representative Gill. Cheryl, what was your stance in 2001 on using dogs when the cats posed a threat to wildlife or to livestock and possibly humans?
Was there a specific incident of this?
The legislation that was in 2001, I'm wondering what your stance was.
I am opposed to hound hunting and bear baiting.
Okay.
Seeing no further questions, thank you both very much for coming today. Chair would like to call Ed Johnston. Ed, are you here? Okay. With that, we'll have Stonebrink, Addington, and Elkins come forward, please. Yeah, see if he's out there. That'd be great.
In the middle?
Yeah, pretty long.
Usually long on the right.
Seems to be your day, Glenn, to sit in front of me. Welcome to the three of you, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Glenn Stonebrink. I'm with the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. We as association, I think, get along quite nicely with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife under present leadership, but I would have to say just in general that their testimony was slightly misleading. I'll leave it at that at this moment. I think you've covered that pretty well. What we have in this is the right of people to protect their life, liberty, and property. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but the issue of Measure 18 has come up several times, and that this would be a violation of the people's wish and Measure 18. I contend that as you as legislators have sworn to uphold the Oregon Constitution, and I don't have a copy of that with me, but if you would look at that in the blue book, the next to the last section talks about something that's quite interesting in granting governments certain powers. At the time of statehood, there was a lot of discussion by the people of the territory that if we became a state of the federal government, that certain rights and privileges of the people might be taken away from them. There was a provision put into the Oregon Constitution, still there, to satisfy this. It was actually copied from other states' constitution to satisfy their similar concerns. Basically what it says, and you may need to get an English teacher to dissect these sentences the way we used to years ago, but basically what it says is all the rights and privileges that the people had in the counties prior to statehood shall remain as if there were never a change in government. I would contend that prior to Measure 18, that people, and prior to statehood, that people had a right to protect their life, liberty, and property in those counties. Now, county residents, through their democratic process and a Republican form of government, elect their elected officials to represent their desire to have a quality of life in their county and the opportunity to pursue their livelihoods. This bill does not grant the counties the right to deal with other animals other than predators. So when we talk about the county's taking over all wildlife management, that's not a true statement. In closing, I would just simply say that this is a good bill and it should pass.
Thank you, Glenn.
Answer any questions?
Gibson Smith.
Thank you, Chair. Speaking of Measure 18, do you know how that passed, the percentages of it? We've heard reference to it. Was it?
Chair Krupp, Representative Smith, I do not know the percentage of that.
I'd be interested.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Al Elkins. I'm with the Oregon Hunters Association. I've had the pleasure of knowing Representative Butler for a number of years, and we share some things in common. And I've always known him to be a straight shooter. And when he says to anybody, folks, we have a problem, we have a problem. If my 9,000 members were in this room and they had to put a bill together, they would come forth to you and say the same thing that Representative Butler said is, folks, we have a problem and this is how we need to address it. For years, we've had the pleasure of working with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife on predators. We have, as a group, talked to them about the public safety concerns, about the concerns of Mr. Stonebrink and Mr. Addington's population of livestock and the numbers that are killed by predators. But we've also worked with the department on predator numbers in relation to wildlife, and we find that in some portions of this state, it is our belief that wildlife numbers are low because of the number of predators. So we have gone to the department and worked with them on increasing quotas each year, and each year they have done so, and they base their quotas on scientific evidence. It's frustrating when you want the quota to be one number, like 120 or 140, and as Representative Butler has attested to, it's only 92, and it's November or October, and the quota has run out for that area, that unit, and he has to place a phone call, or we have concerns about predators attacking wildlife, and know that no more tags can be given out. The Oregon Hunters Association over the years has worked with local communities, farmers and ranchers, in providing money and technical assistance to ridding areas of predators. We've worked with the Willamette Valley on the goose deprivation. Last year we gave over $20,000 to Eastern Oregon counties through the Oregon Department of Agriculture's Predator Control Program to mainly for aerial time for the hunting of predators that were around Mr. Stonebrink's and Mr. Addington's areas to help control them, in hopes that it would also help control damage to wildlife numbers. I think what we have here, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, is a bill that is addressing a real problem. Is it the best solution to the problem? I don't know that for a fact. I see that Representative Butler has built in a lot of controls, like in Section 3. He's telling Oregon who can kill. It's not open. He's also in Section 2 talking about a bill and a board and who will oversee it. So is this the best solution to the problem? I can't say yes or no to that at this time. Is there a problem? I can say absolutely yes. Does there need to be a solution? I can say absolutely yes. And I would like to offer our assistance as an association to work with Representative Butler and the committee and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife in hammering out what a solution is. I would just like to say, in relation to Representative Smith's comment earlier, response time is a huge, huge, huge problem in rural Oregon for this situation. And I have heard from members. I have heard from Mr. Stonebrink's members, from Mr. Addington's members, that they want more assistance. They want to be able to see that animal out there and pick up the phone and get help. I believe the biologists are doing the best they can under the conditions that they have to work. But this is a problem, and we do need to find a solution. And Mr. Chair, in relation to Representative Smith's question, I do have in a file in the office the percentages for the first vote and the second vote, and I'll be glad to get those to your office. It'll take a day, but I'll get them there. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Beyer and Representative Wirth.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know in this committee we have another bill that we haven't heard at this point in time to repeal the ban on bear and cougar hunting and baiting with dogs. In your mind, is this something that we need in addition to that, or is this something that would take the place of that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beyer, our association believes that what this bill addresses is the fact that we are not able to do what ballot measure 18 represents. If we were allowed to continue like we did before the measure passed, we do not believe that cities and counties would be experiencing the problem they are now. That's our philosophy, and that's why we support the other bill. And I think if that other bill were to pass in a few years' time, you would see a dramatic decrease in the number of cougars and bear sightings in urban Oregon around homes and areas of that such.
Okay, so follow
please,
up real quick.
Sure.
Trying to figure out what you just said, and that is that you think we need them both?
I think you do need the repeal 18. I think in terms of numbers for wildlife, we do need that. In lieu of that, I think a situation or a solution such as this is something that needs to work until we can take control of the other.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Worth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So can you give me a scenario where, and anybody can answer it, one of you would be best, where an individual hunter today, given the quota has been filled, so there's no more tags left, tell me what an individual hunter today could do with a cougar or a black bear, as opposed to what an individual hunter could do to a cougar and or black bear if this was implemented. And reclassified these animals as predatory animals.
Mr. Chair, Representative Worth, are you speaking, this implemented the bill, this bill? I believe that hunters wouldn't be able to do anything differently than they are today, because in Section 3 it talks about persons authorized by the county governing body. So that would mean a select group of individuals would be allowed to kill those animals, not just anybody.
Okay. So reclassifying them as predatory doesn't do anything in your mind?
Not in the form of this legislation, I do believe. I may be wrong, but from what I read in Section 3, it says that the board will authorize the people to who can kill it.
Okay.
Who can kill that? And that's the way I'm reading this. If I'm wrong, I apologize to the committee, but I don't think I am.
Okay, Greg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Greg Addington, Associate Director of Governmental Affairs for the Oregon Farm Bureau. And I would actually, Representative Worth, like to kind of get it at that point as well. And I should say that I have not talked to Representative Butler, so I don't want to be presumptuous with this, but I think, as pointed out on the back page of the bill, the last sentence, and it says, as used in this section, predatory animal means black bears, cougars, and wolves. The way I read that, I don't think that's given it the statutory definition of predator, which by doing that would move it to the Department of Agriculture, mm-hmm. and open things up quite a bit more, mm-hmm. for management. So I don't know if there's a better term that could be used, but the way I read that is we're specifically talking about black bear, cougars, and wolves. And not given that statutory definition. And I think that goes back to a little bit of the department's comments. If those were classified as predators statutorily, I think that gets to their concern of their loss in revenue, the $840,000. The way I read this bill is, and in no way was trying to say that it would open things up and you wouldn't need a tag to hunt bear or cougar. I think the way I look at this bill is that if there's a problem in a county, the county can deal with that. It gives them more flexibility. There would still be statewide bear and cougar hunting as we have it now. And that's just my interpretation. And again, I can't add a whole lot to what these two gentlemen have said, but it is a problem. And when our members have a problem, this is the avenue that they choose to try to deal with it. And specifically cougars with a lot of our membership and the damage that they do to agriculture. I think that this bill gets to the heart of the problem. Maybe there are changes that could be made to make it better, and I would also offer the Farm Bureau support in working on this bill if there's things that need to be done. But certainly we like the direction that it's going. We want to be able to protect our property. And with that, I just to reiterate, I think maybe if the definitions there, the predatory animal, and I should talk to Representative Butler, but I would think that to reclassify it as a statute, it would specify that it wanted to give them the statutory definition of predator, and I don't see that it does that. Thank you.
Okay. Question for the three of you. Do you think that there will be some economic impact to ODF&W of some type in regards to lost revenue?
Mr. Chair, I believe what the angle that Mr. Anglin was working on, and a pun intended, was that that it would affect, it could affect, if the territory that you were looking at to go kill those animals included the whole county, the unit, and everything. And if that's the case, then I can see where he was coming from, and I am concerned about that too. And as supporting of the department, the taking away of that fiscal $840,000.
Well, Al, I would think your members would not be supportive of any action, whether currently under the current rules the department's working under or this proposal, that would lead to a closing off of a season.
Absolutely, or loss of any additional revenues, especially in these times. So that
Do you think there might be some loss of revenue then?
I would. That's why I want to go back to the department and ask them if there is. If there is, then I will have to take that to the board and let them weigh that fiscal impact. But that is one of our biggest concerns in relation to this bill. After listening to the discussion, your questions and their answers, I've not had an opportunity to talk to Mr. Anglin about this bill. I can see the scope that he was using, which is broader than I think than Representative Butler was using at that time, but I'll have to talk to both of them to find that out.
Any thoughts,
Mr. Chairman? That actually was the point that I alluded to when I said that this testimony, I think, was a little misleading. It gives you the feeling that $840,000 would be lost to the department totally if this were implemented.
Right.
What happens right now is that our county residents try to rely on hunters that may be hunting a big game animal to also buy a bear or cougar tag in the event that they happen to see one. We've talked about this in the past, that this is our only measure of trying to keep the numbers down, other than an emergency situation like Representative Smith talked about. And yet, time and time and time again, we have people who have livestock losses, and they have, and I'm not just talking about in this case about ranchers or farmers, but I'm talking about a realtor who was threatened by a cougar, and another realtor out in the rural area who was chased by a bear, and they live in the county, and they said, can't we do anything about this? And well, not much we can do. Let's just hope we get some more hunters tags in here to reduce these numbers. The county should have that right to make that decision. I would be happy to, as Mr. Addington talked about, work on a group if there's feelings that this needs to be amended. Perhaps, and this is just one suggestion that may need to be in there, an amendment to spell out when this governing board meets that they somehow show the human safety and property protection needs so that it doesn't sound like a willy-nilly thing, that we're just going to open this up to wild sports hunting where they kill for thrill and blah blah blah, but so you could show that there is a human and property protection need.
Okay, very good. One quick question.
Actually, I want to get at what you just said, the property protection aspect of it, because up to this point we've really focused on the human safety, the public safety aspect. But as I read this, this would also allow now these animals to be taken, hunted, whatever, because of a threat to my private property, whether that's my agricultural crops or maybe a small woodland owner and the bear scratching on the trees. So is that how you also read this? And not necessarily threatening human safety, but if I perceive it as a bear or a cougar or a wolf as threatening my private property?
Chair Krupp, Representative Wood, yes. And let me tell you what happens. And if we need to, we can bring photos in this case the owner of the sheep herd where a cougar killed 18 of his sheep and one of these big lost the name of the sheep dogs.
Pyrenees
within 50 yards of the sheep herder's trailer where he lives, and he had to be gone to town to get supplies and came back. Don't we have some right to protect that? Isn't there something in our American beliefs, the life, liberty, and protection of property, that says we should be able to protect something like that? Yes. And this, again, if this were the case and this was in Wallowa County, And he went to this board and said, you know, this is the fifth time they've been killing my sheep. We need some assistance out there. And if he can convince this board that there's a property protection need, then they can make those decisions. The answer would be yes.
May I just get a clarification really quick?
Very quickly.
And maybe not talking about anything alive, but say just damage to my crops or say damage to, like, the bear scratching the trees. And that would also be true with this, right? You could protect that, your private property, be it nothing alive, but your trees and small woodland owner and crops as a farmer, if you perceived a threat.
Mr. Chair, Representative Worth, yes.
Okay.
Okay, with that, thank you very much, members. We have two other witnesses to testify, and then I want to conclude this part of our testimony and hearing on this bill. I think clearly that there's going to be some additional thought put into this process, and we'll hear that at a later date. As soon as we're done with this particular bill, then I would like to introduce the committee, consider introducing a couple of legislative concepts that we need to do today, because Monday is our deadline for that, and we will not be meeting till Tuesday. And then we will hear our third and final issue of the day. Appreciate that. Rod Harder, come forward, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Rod Harder. I'm here today representing the Oregon United Sporting Dogs Association, Incorporated. I think I got that right. I've been working for them for 2 weeks now. It's kind of a pleasure to be here today with Representative Gilman, because the last time I testified before him, Bear Katz was Speaker of the House and John Kisauber was President of the Senate, and we both had more hair. with that, I've been around this issue for a good number of years. Representative Smith asked a question about what was the score when this lost. I can tell you the first time it was 4 percentage points. It lost by 4 percentage points, and if I recall, there were only 5 counties that voted against, that voted against it. And answer, if I could, Mr. Chair, a question that was just raised by Representative Worth. From day one, and the day that Measure 18 passed, there has always been provision for people to protect their crops and livestock. In Measure 18, that authority now exists, and it always has. So this particular bill would do nothing to change that. As I read this bill, there are some things with it that we do not like. One of the things is that we are strong supporters of statewide consistent management for wildlife. We have always supported that theory and continue to do that. However, this bill comes to you through frustration, and that frustration being the urban-rural issue that has grown over the last decade to a point where folks out in the hinterlands feel like they can't really protect their crops and their livestock. And before we passed the legislation last year with regards to human safety, really couldn't go out the back door without fear of being attacked and the inability to legally retaliate. So we have taken a major step there, and in fact, if I heard correct testimony from Fish and Wildlife, there have been 22 cougars killed under that particular law. So that would indicate there is a problem there. The other thing that we are uneasy about is creating or making bears and cougars predators. Sporting dogs back years ago were, along with, I think, then Representative Roger Martin, people who advocated to take cougars off the predator list and make them game animals for purposes of management. And at that particular point in time, they were very near being endangered. And through proper management, those cougar came back to the point where they could be hunted as game animals, and now have expanded to the point where there are folks that would like to make them predators again. I don't think that that's wise. I'm not going to say the four-letter wolf word. That's going to be up to somebody else. I'm not going to touch that one. My involvement has been with the bears and cougars. I've talked to, or actually I have not talked to, but Representative Butler has just talked to me and whispered in my ear that he is very willing to work with this bill to make it work. And one of the things, and I'm just going to throw out a couple of suggestions, they're not even recommendations, but I look at this and I don't see it as a willy-nilly, as Mr. Elkins put it, but we could perhaps make bear and cougar predators for purposes of this particular legislation when it kicked in. If the county governments decided there was a danger, a clear and present danger, then the animal could become a predator under this section of the law and for that specific instance only. I don't think that's a difficult thing to do. I'm not an attorney. Never had a desire to be one, with no disrespect, but I confused myself. No, I couldn't help anybody else. I think in reading this, as far, I don't think there's any intention. I did ask Representative Butler about this, that there's no intention to shut down hunting seasons for these animals. And I don't think, before the question comes up, I really don't think that the fiscal impact would be as great as it has been portrayed to you to be. My perspective is from a common sense standpoint, and I think that probably if this were to take place, well, let me back up just a second. This doesn't repeal Measure 18. I wish it did. And frankly, I am in full support of repealing Measure 18, and if we were to do that, I would think within several years there wouldn't be a need for this kind of legislation. I think that the natural progression of things would reduce populations back to the point that they were before 18, where it was controllable and we didn't have the damage. The damage is a real thing. It has grown since the passage of Measure 18. It's there. You can see it. It happens every day. So I would think if we repeal Measure 18, and I don't mind saying that right out loud, that we would not really, in a few years, have need for this type of legislation. Again, and then back to the economic thing, I don't see this, if it is framed correctly, as impacting the fiscal situation for fish and wildlife at all. And as everyone on the committee well knows, I would not like to see that happen, because it does keep the biologists on the ground, and we've heard that kind of testimony. So I would not support this if I thought that it did impact fiscally in the manner that Fish and Wildlife has portrayed. I think hunting seasons go on. I think licenses are sold. And I think Representative Butler's intent of this is to use it only in those circumstances where there is a clear and present danger. And what we were alluding to, or what the witnesses before me were alluding to, is last year the Northeast region filled its cougar quota before the season was closed, before the season was over. So they closed the cougar take. And that is when Representative Butler's constituents incurred the problems, and when they were asked, well, can we go kill some, I'm not sure why they couldn't under current law. But if it were, and I can't address that because I haven't looked into it, but that is what I see as the reason for this bill. And so it would kick in situations like that. And if there is a concern about cougar numbers, the quota, I understand, in that particular unit will be increased. Now, I can't speak for Fish and Wildlife, but it seems in conversations I've had with them, they're going to increase that quota so that there will be a larger take there. I know this has been kind of rambling, and I really don't know how to tie it all together. But I think with some work on this bill, which Representative Butler seems willing to do, that this is a necessary thing. And I certainly, for Representative Byers' information, am going to be very much involved in the attempt to repeal Measure 18 in some manner. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Rod.
Question?
Hearing none? Appreciate it. Thanks. We do have two more witnesses. We have Kelly Peterson and George Hutchinson. George, are you here? Please, why don't you come forward at the same time? We can kind of get you both done here, and then we can conclude this for today. Welcome to you both. Kelly, why don't you start off, for the record?
Chair Krupp, committee members, my name is Kelly Peterson. I'm with the Humane Society of the United States. We have 90,000 members in Oregon, and members and constituents in Oregon, and we're offering this testimony in opposition to the bill. And I guess We also feel as though this bill would create a patchwork of wildlife policies around the state. And I wanted to respond to the question about quotas. I do believe that the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife just increased their quota 25% statewide in every hunting zone. And I also believe there's only one county that reaches its quota. But I also think in this bill, it doesn't mention anywhere about public safety or damage of crops. It just kind of allows counties to do what they want, whether that's the intent or not. It could potentially do that. And I also wanted to read a statute that dictates how predatory animals can be killed. It's statute. It's 610.105, and it's the authority to control noxious rodents and predatory animals, which would be bears, cougars, and wolves if this passed. And it would be any person who owns land which is infested with noxious rodents or predatory animals can immediately control them by poisoning, trapping, or other appropriate and effective means. And that is up for interpretation. And that very well could be bear baiting and hound hunting if that county so fit saw that to be. I also want to respond to a bill that passed last session. It's House Bill 2967. There's been discussion. That bill did pass, and it allows any person to kill a bear or cougar that threatens their public safety. That's without a permit, and that doesn't include you can't use bears or you can't use bait or hounds to do that. But you are allowed to use dogs and bait for damage control agents can use dogs and bait for private landowners to target individual problem animals. So I also just wanted to clear that up. And I won't repeat what has been said, I think, earlier by previous witnesses, but thank you.
Thank you all very much. Any questions of Kelly? Thanks, Kelly. Welcome.
Hi.
State your name, please.
My name is George Hutchinson. In the last 17 years, I've lived in Rogue River and Williams and Grants Pass and Medford and Ashland, Oregon. I tended to go where the work was, and the work was in all those places. I'm here today representing myself as a citizen and the Southern Oregon Forest Coalition, which is 9 groups. Among them, I want you to hear a few of these names, is the Provolt Grange, the Takilma Watershed Council, the Siskiyou Project, the Deer Creek Valley Natural Resource Conservation Association, a group called TREE, which was formed by a fairly old gent named Chris Brott, who's a Carpenters Union member and a full-time carpenter when he's not being an environmental advocate. The Rogue Group Sierra Club, Headwaters, Klamath Siskiyou Wildlife Center, and a few others. It's about 10,000 people, roughly. I've heard all the testimony today. It seems the main point of this bill is a problem with reasonable, quick response time. So why not make sure that ODFW has regional adequate quick response teams to do the job it's supposed to be doing? Why create a whole patchwork, a whole new framework of boards and bodies all over the state to do ODFW's job? Why? Representative Smith, I sympathize with you. If I had a cougar threatening my child, I would call ODFW and expect some action. And if they're not acting, then there's a problem with ODFW, I think. It may be money. It may be somebody's rear end needs a good boot. Obviously, there was a problem in your case. That problem needs to be solved. This bill is a bass-ackward way of doing it, though, I think, gentlemen. The environmental community, I'm sure, is going to view this bill and currently views this bill as a backdoor attempt to gut Measure 18 and to gut the state Oregon State Endangered Species Act. Don't do that. Let's not start that fight all over again. If there's a real problem here, and I think there is, solve it with funding a quick, rapid response team if they don't have adequate resources to do so right now. The law exists to handle problem predators. And a couple of statistics I want folks to know, especially Representative Smith. More cougars were killed by hunters last year, not using dogs, than were killed in 1992, which is the high year on the statistics sheet that ODFW has there, going back to 1987, I think. More cougars were killed without dogs than with dogs. And I don't know how or why that is. I just know it's happening. That's really all I have to say, folks. Oh, and one other thing. Measure 18 passed overwhelmingly. It wasn't even close.
A second.
I have a...
Yes, go ahead. Thank you, by the way, George.
Thank you very much, and thanks for your solution. I appreciate that. Could it be they're killing more because there are more?
Quite possibly.
Thank you.
Questions? We're hearing none. Thank you both very much. I appreciate that. And members, we will no doubt revisit this issue, and thank you all for your diligence and good questions. We're going to close public hearing House Bill 2574 and open up a work session to possibly introduce two measures. Ray, you want to start with the first LC draft?
Yes, Mr. Chair, let me go ahead and grab them. LC, Mr. Chair, LC 2888 is the first draft proposed.
Please, you'll have to have a conversation on the sidebar. Thanks.
I apologize.
Okay.
Proposed for sponsorship by this committee. By sponsoring this legislative concept, the committee would only be giving it a chance to get into the process. The committee is not debating the merits, the content of the bill. It's solely giving it an opportunity if the committee decides to sponsor, Mr. Chair, to get into the system and get a chance for the open debate.
Okay. So, members, we have an LC draft. It is not, again, open for debate. Just ask your kind indulgence to allow us to have this bill drafted, and then we can have the debate here as we are wont to do. So with that, the chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
I move we accept LC 2828 as a committee draft.
Okay, members, it has been moved we accept LC 2828 as a committee bill. And clerk, call the roll, please.
Representative
Smith.
Aye.
Representative
Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Hunt.
Aye.
Representative
Byer.
Aye.
Representative
Warren.
Aye.
Representative
Gilman. Aye. LC 2828 is hereby adopted as a committee bill. Thank you. And we're going to open up, we're going to close that work session on LC 2828 and open up a work session on LC 1779. Ray, you want to share with us what this one's about?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Again, legislative concept 1779 is before the committee for sponsorship into the system and to go ahead and get a bill number. By sponsoring the bill, the committee does not endorse or not endorse the contents of the legislative concept, nor by voting on this is anyone on the committee speaking to the merits or demerits, if you will, of the legislative concept. They're solely giving it an opportunity to get into the system, Mr. Chair.
Okay, members.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Nelson.
I move we accept draft LC 1779 as a committee bill.
Members, LC 1779 has been moved by Representative Nelson that we adopt it as a committee bill. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. LC 1779 is hereby adopted as a committee bill, and we'll close the work session on that. We're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2521. Ray, you want to share with us some thoughts on this particular?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2521 modifies landowner preference tag program. It allows tags to be used on certain lands determined by State Fish and Wildlife Commission to be habitat for deer, elk, or antelope. It limits the issuance of tag if estimated number of animals in the area is lower than the population's management objective. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, some background from the statutory side on this. Oregon Revised Statutes Chapter 496 cover application, administration, and enforcement of Oregon's wildlife laws. 496.146 provides the State Fish and Wildlife Commission with power to establish by administrative rule exceptions to the standard tag license issuing regulations. Section 2, Chapter 460, Oregon Laws, 1995, established provisions for landowner preference tags. Statutory provisions under Section 2, Chapter 460, Oregon Laws, 1995, expired on December 31st, 2001. Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Ray. Who's our first? Do we have a department here for this? I believe we do, don't we? All right, where's our sign-up sheet? Oh, it's right there. There. We do. Roy Elliker and Ron Anglin, come forward, please. Welcome once again to the line. Good to have you both here.
Mr. Chair, Roy Elliker, Deputy Director of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. On my left, Mr. Ron Anglin, Division Administrator for Wildlife Division. Mr. Chair, perhaps a little bit of background on this bill before we get to our written testimony. And that is, sir, that we have met. This is Representative Cruz's bill. And we did meet with Representative Cruz on this bill and explained to him what our testimony would be, and that would cause some serious changes in the landowner preference program. When it kind of got kind of suddenly scheduled, I met again with him last evening and told him that we were prepared to comment on the bill. But he had asked us for some amendments that to make some minor changes to the landowner preference program rather than most of what this bill does. And that was just in the last week. So I told him that we were unable at this point to come together with the language that he had asked for an amendment to the bill. And I did explain to him that I'd come before the committee today and kind of explain where we were in the kind of evolution of changes to landowner preference. So we can go through today, sir, and give our testimony as to what the bill does right now. But it's my sense from Representative Cruz that he's willing to sit down with us and work through some amendments that would give a bill that would make some changes to the program that we would like and some of our constituents would like. In particular, allow us to go forward on a pilot program concept in Southwest, including Representative Cruz's district, to try out some different approaches to landowner preference program. And with that background, okay. I'll allow Mr. Anglin to go ahead with our written testimony on the bill as it is today, for the record.
Instead of doing that, why don't we do this? Why don't we just wait until we get some amendments back from you and Representative Cruz, rather than waste any more time on this? Because if it's going to be substantially amended, then we might as well hear the amendments and the reasons for doing that. And since you all are folks that are here in the building on a regular basis, I think that'd be a better use of our time. So why don't we just please let me know or Ray know when you are ready to proceed, and we'll go ahead and reschedule the bill at that time.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I appreciate your patience on that.
All right. Thank you both very much. We're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2521. Members, thank you all very much for a great debate today and your helpfulness, and we are adjourned.